The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Five, four, three, two, one.
You got it! It's time for episode 671 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint mid-November, almost Turkey. On the road to summer 2024, I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, and with me as always is Brett, Peter, Pietro, Starred Morris, the first. Give it up.
I am the first. Thank you for having me, as always. I have an exciting announcement for Chartists out there.
Wow, right? Right off the bat, we've got an exclusive.
Yeah. It's the holiday season, and we put the Who Charted Holiday Bundle.
Yes.
It's now available as part of Who Charted Pod, the Chart Toppers tier. So if you go to whochartedpod.com and you sign up as a chart topper, you get the full album with your plan and threw in three bonus tracks.
Three bonus tracks.
So this is the if you're a newcomer to the charts since 2014, the holiday bundle was like a full length, fully realized, produced album.
Album with sketches.
Sketches.
Not only ourselves, but of course Kulat Vilaysak.
Vilaysak.
She does a lot of singing in it, and Star treated that with some of the most powerful auto-tune in the business.
That's
saturated.
Right.
I mean, left it in the tank for weeks.
Yeah, I had to install extra RAM, stack three computers together for all that auto-tune. It was super
drain
fun
on the city's power, but we got it done.
Excited. A super fun album.
It's all holiday themed. And then the bonus tracks also all holiday themed. They take you through Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Right. Just to list them off. Kids Are the Suge Knight of Halloween. And I remastered that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, sounds better than ever.
Wow.
And then we got I'm Not Paying $500 to Watch Douchebags Eat Turkey.
Hold on. I'm tearing up my old master notes that I have from Sugar. Oh, okay. Those are addressed.
They're all addressed. It's just a little bit rebalanced.
It was listenable as hell before. I can only imagine how good it sounds now.
Got a little bit more dimension to it.
It might even sound good on that Neil Young, Matt Besser, Kronos thing.
Oh, the Pono?
Pono, yeah, that's it.
And then last but not least, Rudolph Chudoff.
That's one of my favorites, to be honest. I love the story it tells.
Me too.
But I love the sound design that you put on it.
Sounds great.
All these stories, these are like a lot of story songs, and they're filled out amazingly well by Starr's production, musicianship, and Foley work even sometimes to get these noises onto the track.
That's right. Previously these songs were just sort of scattered around and a la carte purchases.
Tough and to find.
Yeah. The holiday bundle was hard to find too. So it's super cool to have it all out there in one obvious place.
Super cool. Yeah. I know, just as a confession, I've got releases that are not online just because I don't know how to resize the album cover. And they won't accept the album cover the size I have.
Oh, my God.
I get frustrated. But that's why you don't have Master of Ceremonies on some of your...
That's the reason?
I'm working on that. But that's another matter.
Man, I can fix that in 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's a real reason. That's insane. I'll send you an email after the show. Right. Thank you. But it's exciting that you have these capabilities and that this thing is loaded and ready to go. So you can gift it to someone else or get it for yourself as a present for Christmas.
Yeah, just sent out an email to all the subscribers. Shows you how to upgrade your tier if you need to, and also how to gift it to other people for the holidays.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for that. I'm glad that we collaborated again on that. Hey, guess what? The strike's over.
Wow. Right?
And so I thought we'd bring in someone who knows a thing or two about the biz. Oh, my God. We're not the only ones with product. Here he comes now, and he's got a new book. It's called Have I Seen You in Anything? And the answer to that is yes, I've seen him in many things. And we're glad to have him right back here in the charts. Jesus. Give it up for Mr. Matt Knutson.
Hey, Howard, Brett. Good to see you both. Thanks so much for having me.
Always good to have you.
Great to see you. Great to be back. Are you glad the strike's over?
I'm glad the strike's over. First and foremost, congratulations on the Christmas release. It sounds very exciting.
Oh, thank you. And tell us a little about your book while we're talking stocking stuffers.
You know, I've literally been lucky enough to be in Los Angeles for half my life. And wow. I think along the way, you just kind of accumulate these stories.
Yes.
And they're these just kind of like happenstance things that, hey, how did you end up here? It's just like, well, that's like six stories. But so I just accumulated them all into one book. They're like I'm calling them my Casey Kasem-esque top 40. So it's nice. Have I Seen You in Anything?
Wow, that's a sizable tome.
Thank you. Yeah, 274 pages. But the subtitle is True Hollywood Stories from a Guy That Seems Familiar.
Right on.
Which is, you know, you're always in support of somebody else's show. So there are stories from Adam Sandler to William Shatner and just how you ended up on these sets. But instead of like a dishy tell-all, the stories are all positive and uplifting of people being class acts. So you can be like, hey, if you like Mark Harmon already, he's the best. He's the best. So
it doesn't deflate your balloon on these people.
Not one bit. In fact, like the goal for me was to help you like them even more if you're already a fan. So the elevator pitch is I throw people over the bus. So
I like that.
Thanks.
And it looks great, too. The cover and everything, it looks really well done.
Thank you, Howard. Yeah. The cover photo is by genius photographer Troy Conrad.
And that it's just the Comedy Store?
It's me in the hallway in the stairs at the Comedy Store.
Right on.
So, I've known Troy for 20 years, and he took this photo. He's like, yeah, use it however. And, when it was a book cover, I made the next, like, reach out to the Comedy Store and make sure it was cool. But, I'm really grateful for,
Paulie said yes.
Peter Shore, I believe, is the CFO right now. And so his lawyer drafted something up very quickly and in short order. And, they were very accommodating and very cool.
Great. That's good. Hey, because the strike's over, I put together sort of a retrospective. This is a quiz. Strike's over quiz where we will test you and Stard's knowledge. Both of you guys to see what you retained or learned or forgot from the strike. But first, let's get into the history of recorded music, which I will wrap for you right quick. Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next, ChatGPT? Tunes. Hey, all right. Well, AI was a big part of the strike, so that's a good segue into our music chart and our quiz. All right. Well, what chart do we have this week?
Oh, okay. We got the top 5 on Spotify.
Excellent. Okay. Let's wait. Do I got to ask you a question first? I think I do.
I don't know.
Sorry.
You've introduced the quiz and then you introduced the song and then now the music chart. So yeah, I'm all following over the place. Lead at this point.
This is Pulp Fiction style this week. All right. Well, since we're in the music chart, I'm going to ask you guys a music question.
Okay.
Okay. Who was the first band to perform at the Netflix Writer Strike? Right. And this was
Brett.
I'm buzzing in.
Brett's buzzing in.
Was this Imagine Dragons?
Let's check that. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, yes. Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
Imagine Dragons. They were the first ones, and they showed up there on May 9th. Wow. Way back, I guess, 6 months ago and a little bit more.
Crazy.
At that writer's strike picket line.
You know, I never read any sort of statement from them or any sort of follow-up.
From
like,
the band?
You know what I mean? Yeah, like... It makes you question like why they showed up or if they even knew where they were.
Yeah, really. Yeah, what was your commitment?
I didn't feel like, oh, Imagine Dragons is this like loyal supporter of the strike throughout the whole thing.
Right. I didn't see them. They didn't do a collab with Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
They didn't follow it up. I'm with you on that.
No name checking Duncan Crabtree.
Duncan Crabtree Ireland. Give him a verse.
Come on.
All right. So coming in at number five.
Number five.
Noah Cahan with Stick Season.
Ooh, this could be dirty.
What season is that?
My anger in the blame that I can't face. Memories or something, even smoking weed is not replacing. I am terrified of weather because I see you when it rains.
It sounds like Ollie a little bit.
To travel, but
yeah,
COVID on the
but on helium.
And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your
this is an Ollie knockoff. I mean, he's influenced this guy.
This is the Vermont version.
He said there's COVID on the planes. Like he's getting political.
Sure, yeah. You know, I had heard the song before, and it felt like what they were trying to do is bring folk country writing with current themes to bring a younger audience in.
Oh,
he's got a good voice, and I like the song, but it felt very... specific, like you were saying, COVID on the planes and smoking weed. And
yeah, I feel like Ollie is the guy who kind of broke that in. You have you heard the real big famous one where it's, you know, the Richmond, north of Richmond?
Yes.
This is so derivative of that. I almost say it's got to be like, doesn't it sound a lot like that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't start the clock at Oliver doing that sound. You know what I mean?
I know, it's but like kind of.
You got to go back to like Woody Guthrie.
But he's like the White Stripes who opened the door for the Black Keys. He's the guy who knocks the door down.
I got to tell you,
the audiences are ready now for like a guy with a mandolin or whatever the hell, the ukulele, and then complaining about politics.
Yeah. That's so funny. And Brett just made me laugh so much, Brett. I wouldn't start the clock. I never heard that expression in that way, but it just informs the whole conversation.
There you go.
And I actually saw the Black Keys last week. They opened for Guns N' Roses at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, you went to that?
They blew the roof off the place. They were so good.
Oh, you met them and they were pricks, you say. You
and they were dead. The I was so angry about it. Just like, Dan Auerbach, how could you do this to me?
Wow. Would have been a great chapter. That's too bad.
Yeah. Next book.
All right. Well, I got to ask you a question, I guess.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're in the music chart, so I will ask you this. Who was the second band? They're like Ollie was the first and that guy second. These guys were second. They played at the Paramount Writer's Strike in May. They did two songs. This band. This.
I'm giving that a chance. All right. I think I know it. Is it
Weezer?
I did.
Okay.
Is it Weezer?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
Strike bands.
Nice. Did you guess that too, Matt?
No, I was giving myself the Family Feud red X buzzer.
I thought you were buzzing it.
I don't think Howard's hearing us at all.
No, I just mistook the buzzer for a buzzing.
No, it's next time I'll just say I have no idea.
Okay,
I'll eliminate. No, I didn't know they were out there. That's cool.
All right. So what do we got coming in at four?
Coming in at number four, Zach Bryan and Casey Musgraves, I Remember Everything.
A cold shoulder, a closing time. You were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man's mouth when his mind's broke. Pictures and passing time. You only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish it didn't.
Touching duet.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Casey Musgraves. I think she's unique and super talented.
She does a good job. I wish she would pick up the pace a little.
Yeah. The wife and I saw her open for Willie Nelson at the Shrine the day after Glenn Campbell died, and she came out and opened the show with Rhinestone Cowboy.
Oh,
that's
cool.
People lost their minds.
That is cool. Super.
She's
cool.
Like a some sort of like exotic species on stage. Like I saw her at Outside Lands in San Francisco, and when she walked out, she had that like presence on stage.
Yeah,
like her. I don't know, something about her presence and her face and like beauty and the voice.
She's like a Wonder Woman type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, when you're like faced with a superior being.
And she played Saturday Night Live sitting naked on a stool. It was remarkable.
Was she really naked?
I thought that was the Forrest Gump scene.
If she wasn't naked, she was wearing like a nude costume and just sitting on a stool with a guitar.
Right on.
Strategically placed, I'm sure.
Strategically placed guitar. But let's not start the clock on her nudity.
She didn't start the clock.
Take back act to Adam and Eve, the original nudists.
I just saw a news item here that says Zach Bryan donates profits to McCaffrey's Veteran Foundation. So nice. Christian McCaffrey from the 49ers.
Oh, team, okay.
Zach Bryan's stock might have just gone up a little bit.
Right on.
Good for him.
That also lets me know you're using the internet on these clues. And he's ahead to nothing.
I would never on a quiz. Quizzes are sacred.
All right. Are you guys ready for your next question?
Yes.
In September, Drew Barrymore decided that her show would return. This actor called her a scab.
Oh.
This actor called her a scab.
Ding. I'm going to go with John Cryer.
Ooh.
Wow.
Great guess, but.
It feels on brand. Yeah.
I'm going to guess.
I can give you a hint. Would you guys like a hint?
I'm going to guess Mark Ruffalo.
Bah.
Okay.
All right. Here's a hint.
Okay.
This West Wing actor called her a scab.
Ding.
Martin Sheen.
That's a good guess.
Good guess.
Josh Molina.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey.
Nice one, Matt. You're back
Thanks.
In the game. There you go. Like there was tension.
Yeah, I like quiz shows that just give people infinite amount of guesses until they get it
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's training wheels, baby.
Yeah.
And you know, no prize money. So
I do have to say like this, the picket lines were pretty, you wouldn't see these people in real life as part of your normal day.
And you know. did you see anybody famous at the picket lines?
I saw like a lot of like famous people. There's a picture I got between Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney. It's just the three of us. Yeah, I was just like, it's the Saturday Night Live sketch come to life.
With one guy who doesn't belong in there.
Totally. but like Pedro Pascal, John Cryer, cool. I guess, because he was at Warner Brothers all the time and has been active. Reese Ehorn, Patrick Fabian.
Right on. Did anyone ask you, have I seen you in anything?
Yeah, they did.
Like, right?
Don't you remember I was number six on the call sheet?
Six guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of numbers, right. Do I ask a question?
Do you have a nice section about Drew Barrymore in this book?
Yeah, yeah. How about, do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you cover her tracks on the scabbard?
The thing that made me laugh about that whole dust up is that at some point the thought was like, my fans demand it. It's just like, they won't let me go. Golden handcuffs, everyone.
Like, the whole Midwest is on fentanyl, but they can't handle if she's gone.
And then Bill Maher followed shortly after, and they both crawled back into there.
Oh, I guess I can rip up that question.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. All right. Are you ready for your... Are we on to my next question?
Yeah, I think we're on to number three.
Oh, yeah. Coming in here, number three.
Yeah, Jack Harlow, Loving On Me.
Young J-A-C-K-A-K-A, Rico like Suave, Young Enrique, speaking at A-K-A, she's an alpha but not around your boy, she could quiet around your boy, hold on, don't know what you heard or what you thought about your boy, but they lied about your boy, going dumb and it's something idiotic about your boy, she wearing cheetah print, that's how bad she won't be spotted around your boy.
There you go. He's a spokesperson for KFC.
And, is he really?
Yeah, I have some of the ephemera.
Nice.
Mashed potato pat and stuff like that.
Extra crispy Harlow.
Yes, Harlow. You know, he's a competent rapper. I don't think he's incredible or anything. He just, he does the job. He's this few years as white rapper. Macklemore was, right. We had, you know, he's not like that, but.
He seems like a step above Macklemore to me.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of skill level and sort of.
Yeah,
like,
he's not going to have as much backlash as a Macklemore.
Yeah.
Macklemore lash. All right, let's get to our next question.
Okay.
This one, I'm engineering this kind of to bring Matt back into a tie.
Okay, thank goodness. Thumb and if you, Brett, if you feel like, throw in it.
That makes me want it even more.
Exactly. All right, really twist the knife.
Oh. Here we go. This woman is president of the AMP-TP. AMP-TP. Who is this woman?
I thought her name was like Judy or something, but I'm blocking it.
And you are one of her subjects, aren't you?
The AMPTP?
That's for producers, right? She's
producers, yeah.
This is the head of the producers, the production companies, the producers, the middlemen, in a sense, between the studio, big bosses, and the lowly actors,
the peasants.
The peasants, please.
I know that I don't know. I don't recall.
Start. Would you like to Google? Just kidding.
Head of the producers, Mel Brooks.
Ooh, not a bad guess. But both of you disrespecting Carol Lombardini.
Carol Lombardini. How could we forget?
She was part of the problem, right? She was with the producers. All right, so wow, it's still your lead, Start. It's still your
all
lead.
All right. Well, coming in at number two. Mitski with My Love, Mine Oh Mine. This is sticking strong at number two.
Who is president of Mitski? M-I-T-S-K-I.
The Kamitsky method. It was a good dreamy pop ballad.
True.
What do you think is the slowest song ever to be a hit? I mean,
what a great question.
Did they let songs that slow be hits back in the 50s or 60s. This is like a separate side quiz.
It had kind of like a Patsy Cline component. She had kind of slower, croony things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Was that the slowest? Was...
What word did she say?
I couldn't think of any word.
Okay. Right.
It's just right there in the
There was another woman who came out.
Crazy. Riders on the Storm, that's pretty slow. Riders on the Storm.
I'm trying to think of like actual, technically slow BPMs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Versus what just feels so boring.
Right. It also, it was an interesting mix of the top five because number three and number two are very different, but people are still into it. You know, it's part of the zeitgeist. So
yeah,
a lot of different tastes out there.
Eclectic tastes.
Eclectic.
All right.
I am Googling this.
Oh, slow songs? Slowest hit ever? How about Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel? Don't go changing.
I'm thinking maybe a Pink Floyd song could be up there.
Could be.
There was other, remember that song Blue that country singer in the 90s sang? How does it go?
Oh, Katie Lang. Yeah, Katie Lang.
Yeah.
Damn it, that's pretty slow. But write us in, gang. Let us know what the slow tunes are. And we'll keep discussing that. But let's get back into our quiz, shall we?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to save that one for the next. Sure. Okay. This. Oh, you'll like this. Hang on, you guys. Sorry. I'm very sorry.
Carol Lombardi.
Lombardini.
Exactly. Lombardini.
Okay. This actor walked out of his own premiere to at the 8 p.m. deadline back in July, walked out of his own premiere.
What does that mean, the deadline? Can I ask that?
There was some kind of deadline. That's a great question. I can't answer. There was some kind of deadline, and this guy walked out of his premiere of his big movie.
I'm going to go with Matt Damon. For some reason, that name is standing out to me.
Matt Damon. Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, it's coming back.
Yeah.
That was an actor question.
Did you guys ever see that interview? He was talking to that guy and, you know, they were saying unions are corrupt and he was standing up for his mom because she's a teacher and she's been in a union. You know, it was cool. And it was really like you get a chance to see people's real personality in moments like that. And I like Matt Damon.
A little bit of a prick, a little bit of a contentious kind of guy. wouldn't let the other person get their points out.
He's very charming though. Like he can persuade people, you know, that
he is. He is.
Yeah. One thing I did like to see, like, with both strikes happening, it felt like it reminded people that, you know, unions have a purpose and these things work, you know, they get results.
Yeah. Amen. And also that we're like a creative community. We're like all artists and we all rely on each other. But like the AMPTP are all bitter rivals that are trying to cut each other's throats. But they're coming together to negotiate together. And you're like, well,
that's right.
Also, they created an ecosystem where artists survive on their day job all the time. So cutting off work is like, yeah, I'll just pick up another shift at the restaurant. No one's going anywhere. You're not going to, you know.
Right.
Starve them out.
People have side hustles.
Big time.
All right.
Here we go. Coming in at number one.
Did I ask a question already?
Number one.
I thought we just did.
Okay.
Was it Carol Lombardini?
That was a bonus question.
Bonus question.
What? Matt Damon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Taylor Swift. Is It Over Now, Taylor's version, From the Vault. This is a double parenthetical.
Days later, I see your profile and you smile on unsuspecting waiters. You dream of my mouth before it called you a lying traitor. You search in every maiden's bed for something greater, baby. Was it over when she laid down on the couch? Was it over
unbuttoned my blouse. Come here, I whispered in your ear in your dream as you passed out. Baby, was it over then? And is it over now?
Right. Don't you feel like her songs have a sameness now that they didn't before?
I think like, we're all
like
learning
the way Drake
the
songs
Swift.
Have a sameness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a template there.
There's she just kind of like put these organ beds in the back and then I'll just kind of sing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be hard pressed to find a bigger group of fans of her music, but I there's some things I could listen to two or three of them in a row and really see the wavelengths falling in place.
Yeah, there's she knows exactly how to like repeat a phrase in a certain mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a little chant with it. And I don't know. Yeah, I totally hear it. I've also, I feel like I've said this before, but I feel like I've identified, at least with a number of her songs, the very specific song that came out maybe 5 years prior to that they were adapting into a Taylor Swift song. Mm. Like she's got this one song that is almost exactly that Hozier Take Me to Church
right.
song.
Yeah, she's very and influenced by the sounds of today.
I just feel like I have a theory. I can't prove it, but I have a theory that in the studio, they were very much like, let's make a Take Me to the Church. Like I want that sound.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And song. Let's just twist
that's
it
our milieu exactly.
Yes. Yeah,
I feel like she's very good at sort of copying. Like she did it with Lord too when Lord was out. Then she kind of had a song that sounded like Lord,
right?
And, she does it, but she isn't the new one coming out about Kelsey is give me the rock.
Yeah, and did you see that she dropped a Chiefs reference in a song live
really?
The other day, and the internet went wild.
I want to know right now. Damn.
It was something like that guy on the Chiefs used as a lyric a substitution, and he was in the audience.
Wow.
And it just made this like total news cycle item.
You know,
he went down there to deliver a package to her in Argentina.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's footage of her coming off stage and like running and jumping into his arms. There's like whirlwind romance happening.
Exciting stuff.
Well, from all accounts, she really takes care of the people that take care of her and, you know, the show. So that's classy.
Is she in your book too?
No, not yet. But God, I hope she listens to this episode, Howard.
Me too.
Yeah, I just hear she like tips big and really like leads.
She could really
into,
use your help, you know, with some good press.
Sure, yeah, get the word out there.
Yeah, make sure you say something nice about her.
And, having a hard time.
If she is listening, go hard on Kelsey when you write the breakup songs. Go hard on that meathead.
Okay, God, he's really putting himself out there, isn't he? Like if things don't go right with this.
Yeah, but he's kind of like a Gronkowski. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's got his own world.
This will get him so many girls after if he breaks if they break up. Okay, was that the end of number one?
It was.
Number one.
Was there any?
Wow.
Do we end on a quiz question?
No, we come back. We'll come back with the quiz.
Okay.
People are hungry for it. And
I like
that was
it.
The music. Exciting stuff. We'll be right back with the movie chart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My name is H. Michael Cray. I'm here with my guests, Matt Knutson and
Briette Morris.
And this is The Movie Chart. Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen are freaking giant. Movies. All right.
That's new since you were last here. I think.
Love it. Yeah. I love that lyric. Most of them are unnecessary.
Pretty
classic.
Pretty much. Good times. All right. Let me ask you guys a question that we'll get into number five.
Sounds good.
This guy. Oh, shit. Oh, this guy. Back in July, he got right in the camera's face and he said, "Listen to me, motherfucker. There's a lot of ways to lose your house." Because this guy was saying that the strike's going to keep going until these actors lose their houses. And then this actor. Yes.
Wasn't it Ron Perlman?
Beep, 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 beep. Hellboy himself, Ron Perlman. Indeed. Yep.
Nice one. Okay.
Wow, this is really taking me back on strike history. This is great.
Some big moments in the strike.
Yeah.
All right, come in at number five. At
number
the box
five.
Office.
Number five.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
They have the worst land possible. But they outsmarted everybody.
The land had oil on it.
Black gold. Money flows freely here now.
I do love that money, sir.
Black gold.
Wow.
Texas tea.
Yes. Have you seen this, Matt? I haven't seen it yet.
I have not.
It looks good, right?
It looks right up my alley. I like everyone involved with it. Like the actors, the director. I heard it's long. But that's not news. I don't mind if something is long, as long as I'm not in a point where I'm just like, is this still going? As long as you're engaged, I'm into the whole thing.
Are you cool with them putting that much makeup on Margot Robbie, or should they have cast a regular woman?
I co-sign on stunt casting. I'm not a producer, but I get it.
Okay. All right, you guys ready for another question?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, this gentleman's father was a union electrician, but he wasn't really on the side of the unions, was he? This man whose father was a union electrician, he being the CEO of Netflix, was not really on the side of the unions, was he?
Ding. Is it Sarandos? Sarandos?
Ted Sarandos. Ding, 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 ding.
Ah.
You made it sound like Thanos from
MCU. Is it Thanos? They put the glove on and a lot of people disappear? Am I thinking of the right character?
Yeah, this guy, he will disappear. He will disappear. But he's busy buying stuff for Netflix.
Sure. All right,
good stuff. Good stuff. That pulls you guys into a tie, I believe.
Wow.
Unless you're ahead by one start still.
It's thrilling. I haven't been keeping track, but a tie sounds about right.
Tie sounds good. All right, tie's good.
Okay. Here's number four.
Number
Priscilla.
Four.
What do you mean to tell him that's not going to work? I can't make it on time. I want to be there in the first place, man. Daddy, I'm going to have to claim it.
It's pretty good, Elvis.
I don't go imagining things.
Like Aunt
He's
Margaret?
Murmuring Elvis.
Yeah.
Scooby?
I said, woman, I don't want to hear another word.
Who's Scooby?
Is there something you're hiding?
I don't have a goddamn thing to hide. You're just being too goddamn aggressive and demanding. You know, I think you should go see your parents for a little while.
Classic deflecting.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's all shook up.
You got me all shook up.
Also, I had a chance to look at my blue suede shoes and someone stepped on them.
Elvis only talked in his own song.
Yeah, I wish the dialogue was like that.
You got me all shook up. You're like a hunk of burning love, baby. You got me all shook up.
I miss when you'd love me tender. Yeah.
Back in Hawaii, blue Hawaii. Okay, That looks, I don't know. I'm good with the Elvis movie. I don't need to see the Priscilla movie. She didn't sing any tunes. I mean, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I'm kind of Elvis'd out for the time being. And, you know, when I think of Priscilla Presley, how sad. Like, your husband died, your daughter's dead. It's like, ugh, it's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. She's like the Kennedys.
Yeah. Yeah. Her grandson, passed away.
Not as many accidents with them as more drugs and stuff.
Yeah. ODs. ODs.
No one assassinated a Presley.
No, not yet. that's how the Priscilla will go out. Assassination.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Okay. This is going to be the last question. I sense enthusiasm waning on the quiz.
No, I'm very enthused. I'm really into it.
I really like it. Yeah.
I do too.
Okay. This negotiator speaks fluent Spanish and attended UC Davis Law School. This negotiator, who you wouldn't think spoke Spanish.
He does look pretty white.
Is it, wait.
I like that Matt's just letting you play the game.
Well, we mentioned before.
Even ring in.
Yeah, ding. Point. Duncan Crabtree, Ireland.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. We mentioned him before.
Yeah, his name was mentioned earlier in the program.
I didn't know Matt was just toying with me.
Matt's just like,
I didn't even realize that.
Once the question came back the second time, I was like, "Well, I have."
You didn't have to hit me with the Steph Curry, you know, night gesture
as he's rocking you to sleep.
Yeah, I crossed paths with Duncan on the picket lines a couple times, I pitched him my ideas, you know, for. Of some language and usage that we could use as negotiators, you know, right. Like instead of calling them, por favor, señor, instead of calling them residuals, I've been calling them usage fees. It just hits differently with people.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. It sounds like you're getting paid for something real as opposed to, we're just sending you free money.
Yeah, they call that mailbox money. That's why people get so mad. They're like, oh, you were 2 years ago and you still get paid. It's just like, yeah, it's because they're reusing my name and image and likeness. And
There's a new revenue stream happening. This is my fee. Yeah. I like calling it a fee.
Yeah. That's what I call my my money for prostitutes.
Usage fee.
Usage fee. okay. Coming in at number three, Taylor Swift again on both charts. How many times has that happened?
Yeah, she's
we got a double charter.
Double dipping.
Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour.
Welcome to the Eras Tour. This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life. To go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going to span 17 years of music. How does that sound?
Wow.
What an entertainer. You know,
she's
blowing the roof.
I was saying before, because I saw this, that she, those little interstitial, her little, you know, speeches in between the songs, I almost was most impressed by.
Okay.
Like, she just has those dialed in so well, and she knows her fan base so well. She's mastered her own personality, I feel like.
Right.
Like in a way where she seems she's relatable, she's the most unrelatable person in the world right now, but she knows how to seem relatable with it.
Yeah, she makes it look like she's surprised. The football player wants little old me.
I also, just by watching the trailer, I got the impression she knew the response to, what do you think?
They're gonna be into it.
Give us a second. Let's talk about it.
That's like, oh, would you mind if I played a new song right now? I don't know. Right. I just want to.
Please stop ripping your hair out, girls. Exactly. Stop it.
That kind of thing.
All right, I'm gonna change my line of questioning to match the show. Mm. This question will refer to the Eras Tour. How many songs were in the Eras Tour set list?
Whoa. I'm going to say, is this like we both guess and whoever's
unless
closer.
Matt already knows. And he's
I have no idea.
I'm going to say like 45.
Mine would just be a guess too, 17, because she said she did 17 years. Well, but I'm sure there's more songs.
I didn't mention that you can't go over.
She did one song a year, famously. You're right.
The correct answer is 44.
Wow. But you weren't supposed to go over.
Super impressive.
He gave me the harsh buzzer. One off.
All right, no points on that one. No points.
Wow.
Oh, wait, no, Matt. Well, yeah, Matt gets a point. Because
Price is Right rules?
Yeah, I'll give you a chance to make it up.
I guess that's true.
The stakes couldn't be higher, too. That's the thing. It was just huge prize.
You should have guessed one to be that Price is Right guy.
How many acts and albums did this tour encompass?
Oh, my God.
How many studio albums, how many acts in the show?
My guess is seven.
Seven.
I'm going to go eight.
Eight.
Price is Right.
I'm going to go nine. The answer is 10.
Wizened up.
Oh! 10 studio albums.
Impressive.
Pretty crazy. And her first tour in 5 years. How about that?
Yeah. You know what I liked about it is
Did you see it, Matt?
I didn't see it. No, I never saw it. But I did like that she like had some bad recording deal that she couldn't get out of and then re-recorded her own song so she could own them again.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the show business. That's savvy.
There's a kid walking around with buck teeth because the dad can't afford to get him braces because Taylor pulled the residuals.
That's her usage fees.
His usage fees.
Yeah. To get totally. All those. I have so many technical questions about her Taylor's versions or how she's gone about recording new versions. Cause all these albums are huge budget. Like 1989, was a huge statement.
I'm
wondering
the
if they still have some of those tracks and they just print them again and call it a second take. Or if they just have all the plugin settings still ready to go. Or if she just hired 50 people to just work on this in a lab while she's doing something.
Well, she could afford to do it the other way.
And there's AI now too that I just have so many questions like how they went about it. Because it could be.
I wouldn't see them not using stems if they had them. I mean, she might not even know. She could say she didn't know about it.
Yeah, because I guess legally they would just have to be able to say that this is a different performance than was on the original.
If I was hired to redo it and it was a tight schedule and then they were like, hey, we got these stems over here.
Yeah.
I would be tempted to use them.
You wouldn't even be able to get the artwork square.
I'd never be asked to do anything technical. That's why I said
Howard, you're preaching to the choir, dude. Anytime I have technical issues, I try two things. And when neither one of them work, I just
That's it. You live it. That's it. A little different life. Right. Your life goes in another direction.
Did you want to plug it and plug it back in? Yeah, I did. And it still didn't work? Now I'm out of ideas.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, life goes in a different direction.
I did. I lost a hard drive way back in the day when I first moved here, and I just became an acoustic guitarist for like seven, 8 months. My neighbors could hear it too. I didn't think they could hear any of it. And then after like 4 or 5 months, I ran into my neighbor and she's like, "We listen to you singing your songs."
That's so funny.
I used to drink vodka and hit the acoustic real hard up here.
Wow.
Okay.
Dragon Boy Unplugged.
Or that was the Skokie Binion Jr. stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The country stuff. Okay. You guys ready for another question, or did I already
ask? Well, I think I did. I think it's time for a trailer, right? After that one?
Yes. All right.
Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Five Nights at Freddy's, trailer 2. Oh, see, this is more like the video game where you're looking at the security screens.
Okay. Oh, they're in like an old, it's old school. Does this take place in the 80s?
I wouldn't be surprised if it does. It feels...
Looks pretty
feels
old.
Feels kind of 80s. It feels like an 80s mall.
I have a job for you.
Also, you know, that's the best way to get rid of cell phones in the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you see that Chuck E. Cheese, in response to this movie, they got rid of their animatronic character bears or whatever the hell they are?
Really?
No.
They got rid of them in all locations except one.
Why?
Because this movie would inspire people to run in, to do their TikToks, to smash things.
Oh, man.
You know, they don't want a flash mob showing up.
Right. Right.
I could see Chuck E. Cheese just pulling it because they just run out of money to run those animatronics, but using this as the excuse, you know.
Right. Sorry, you can't be a kid here anymore. It used to be where you could, but those days are gone.
You damn Gen Z's. Chuck E. Z's, they should call it Gen Z's. Chuck E. Z's.
I don't know that I'll ever see this movie. If it comes around cable, I'll probably watch 10 to 15 minutes of it.
Speaking of cable, Matt, who is the CEO of Disney?
Bob Iger.
Bob Iger.
Got it. Look at that. Ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
And I was sincerely trying to recall because
you were giving that to me. I know it.
No, I was not. I had my eyes closed. I was deep in thought.
It's funny because I like know that answer, but then in my head I'm going, oh, they're going to laugh at me because that was like 10 years ago.
He's back.
I'm confusing the names. Yeah.
The thing that like one of the AMPTP's like things in their last best and final offer was like, yeah, and when an actor dies, we'll just use his image forever without permission from his family or the union. That's cool, right?
So you're just crazy. Like,
we could do that.
What are you talking about? Of course not.
No. The estate will get paid in perpetuity.
Yeah, it's a license, you know. Crazy.
It's so crazy. Where are we at now? New trailer?
Number one, new trailer.
Number one.
Number one.
This is, all right, The Marvels, which I can't believe hasn't already been a movie.
I know.
Carol Marvel Danvers. Studios, The Marvels.
Prodigal child of the Milky Way.
Nick Fury, my favorite one-eyed man of intrigue.
How goes it out there?
You know, cold, no air, space.
And that's exactly what you feel about space, Howard.
Captain Marvel.
Basically.
The Annihilator. You took everything from me. And now I'm returning the favor.
Now they're using Beastie Boys.
What is that going to be?
She's entangled our light-based powers, so we switch places whenever we use them.
Light-based powers. That's what it always comes down to.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
My gosh.
You know, people underestimate life-based powers, but you know,
you need them.
Yeah.
You need them. Okay.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I'll see that one either.
Yeah, that's a skipperoo. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think Samuel Jackson gets more excited to do his Capital One card commercials at this point.
Yeah,
that's
seriously.
So funny. I was just thinking about that because when you see a movie star in a commercial, I think it, in my mind, it's still, I know why I'm doing commercials. Why are you doing commercials?
Why are you doing commercials?
Yeah, for like the Nissan spokesperson, and it's just, you know, it loses something special if you see them in a movie. In my mind.
let's see some new faces.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like this is kind of a bomb.
Yeah, this one's a bomb. This one is real low.
The Marvels misfires with 47 million, lowest MCU opening weekend of all time. Wow. The people are we called it. Someday the people will turn on this. Yeah. It felt like about 20 years where it was just like no one ever had any irony about liking these things.
Yep.
Absolutely. I felt that way about the Spider-Man franchise too. You're like, yeah. Oh, there's every 2 years, there's a new.
Yeah. It's like a waking nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, and the universe is wide open, so anything can happen anytime. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I felt that way about the comic books. There's a new one every month. What are you doing? Okay.
I saw
that was the end of that one.
I saw a good YouTube breakdown, or it was decent, I would say, but about the Marvelization of movies that it was called. And it was getting into some cool like theory breakdown. They're saying like basically this idea that you just throw elements on the page that don't, it's like all the quippy responses and the tone and the crossover stuff. It's like,
yeah,
they called it like entropy. It's like storyline entropy where it just anything goes and it's no longer like there's like a cohesive tone to each movie.
I second all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And like if I'm watching a movie for 20 minutes or half hour and I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it for another hour and a half.
Especially if you don't feel like there's really like a core rules in that one movie that make it unique and special. It just feels like, oh, let's throw the character from that one in here. And they all have the same personality. In,
they need an object, but the object is stolen. So they got to get the object back.
Yeah. One of my wife and I's favorite movies of all time is Wolverine. And it is like a Marvel thing, but like it's such a deep story and this one guy, and it's not like a big budget special effects, that it's just, it feels more grounded. I like that.
Was that the Logan or the
Logan? Thank you. Wolverine.
Yeah.
Logan, where he's got the kid and you know, he's trying to protect her.
He's stuck in that. He's in the hideout for a while with bad health. All right. Those were some great movies. And we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than Spotify. Perhaps we did.
Perhaps. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Number five.
Start with a Howard Kramer choice. This is City Girls Lineup. Oh, I know that sound. Is that from 808? Is that
probably?
Play me all the time. Is in the latest new designer. Come in, nigga, let me put this pussy on your lap. Shout out my guy. All these niggas tryna fuck without a condom. Thought he was lying the way he pull out that bitch in the condo. Drape me all the diamonds in the latest new designer. Come in, nigga, let me put this pussy on your lap. Shout out my guy. All these niggas tryna fuck without a condom. Thought he was lying the way he pull out that bitch in the condo. Young turnt dead ass bitch out of day. Broke down maggot ass bitch throwing shade. I might take me a whole nigga just to put it on his face. If Balenciaga, I went triple on the pay. He like, come on, come on, come on with your fine ass. It's just something.
Women have women have taken over rap to the point where I'm thinking like they're just it's more suited to them.
Like it's just yeah,
like all the bragging and competition and stuff. It's like it's, they're like so good at it.
There's more they can talk about with that.
Yeah.
Also, like, the lyrics were very graphic and like not off-putting, but you're like, oh shit! And I think that was part of the point, so it worked on me.
Yeah, but it's like to hear a girl talk about her own pussy that way, as opposed to like a guy rapper going like bitches and pussy.
Yeah,
that's almost more. It's more threatening too. It's like that sense of like, what are you going to do about it? You know, like they have more power with those words.
They were hearing what the pussy's ideas
are. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's hilarious. Great song. Great pick, Howard.
Yeah.
They always managed to out raunch each other too. It's like you thought. You would have thought that would have run dry.
Yeah, you
but don't start the clock on them. Let's start with the Pointer Sisters.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is my first pick. This is Jay Maskus with Can't Believe We're Here. Jay Maskus from the Dinosaur Jr., of course.
It seems like November is the perfect month for a Dinosaur Jr. or like that kind of music. You know?
Such he's very underrated to me as like an incredibly pioneering force in like that sound. And then also still being so consistent with it.
Cosine all the way.
He's just every time he comes out with something new, it just sounds like the same quality. Same feel. It takes you back to those.
Yeah, he doesn't like
feeling.
Screw it up with some weirdness. And then the vocals too, so recognizable. You never, you always know it's him.
Totally signature. Yeah.
I saw the Dinosaur Jr. in Red Cross at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium.
Nice.
And it was moshy. And it was just, you know, it was high energy and young. And he stayed around. And it feels like his music he's doing now is age appropriate, but still great. You know, big
Steve
fan.
Steve McDonald, the bassist for Red Cross, he complimented my bass tone at a Mr. Heavenly show we did.
Nice, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, he was backstage and complimented it. I was like, dude, you're in the Melvins. The best compliment ever.
He's famous for didn't he add bass to the first White Stripes albums or something?
Did he?
Yeah, I thought that was a big thing. Like the bass player from Red Cross added bass to the White Stripes and then like put it out or something.
Wow. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm looking it up. He became so excited about the White Stripes' new album, White Blood Cells, that he recorded bass lines to two songs and New York Times and all these outlets reported on it. And then he put bass on all of it.
Good call,
Howard. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea.
It's hilarious that he's like so excited about it that he's like, it's not good enough. It needs like the, you know what I'm saying? It needs the bass.
Right. I got a tag for your joke. Good.
Yeah, the way everybody took it at the time was like, yeah, man, those albums needed a bass on them. You know, totally. Like this guy was doing him a favor by putting the bass on.
But that's great.
That's awesome that you guys have a close encounter with that guy.
Totally.
Yeah,
and it's a great chase. Yeah.
By the way, Dinosaur Jr. to this day, easily the loudest show I've ever been to.
Oh my God.
The loudest by far. You know, I've seen some loud.
They
got to
wake
bands.
Up all those potheads in Western Massachusetts.
Yeah. Loud.
I took my younger sister, who's like 4 years younger than me and was still in high school at the time. And it was a great show. And yes, super loud.
Yeah. It's funny because this might be a hot take. Like I'm sure their fans would get angry at me, but I don't think they need to be that loud, like for their sound and their songs. Like knowing what I know about amps and stuff, I'm like, you don't need that to get that sound.
Right.
But
they're just
wear earplugs. If you ever see Dinosaur Jr., wear like four pairs of earplugs.
Yeah. Be that toddler with the hunting earphones.
Yes, it will damage your ears for sure. All right, coming in at number three. Matt's pick. This is Billie Eilish with What Was I Made For from the Barbie soundtrack. Don't tell my
boyfriend it's not what he's made for. World's slowest hit song.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey.
Contender.
It's got to be a contender.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel, but I wanna try. I don't know how to feel. This has a BPM of 78.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was going to guess like 76.
That's pretty slow.
Pretty slow.
Did you test it with an app or?
I just looked it up on Google.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was a stripped down, simple arrangement, beautiful voice, not overproduced.
Is that where the scene where she makes Ken watch her cuck? She's make her. Sounded pretty sad. I don't know what was going on.
Hey, I'm really interested in this question of the slowest BPM on the charts, and I can't find.
It's like, a tough question.
Surprising.
To ask. It's a tough question to ask the internet, right? Because how do you phrase it?
Yeah, you're right. Like, how do you phrase it on Google? I guess. But most people sort of like
maybe we could guess fastest. Maybe that's an easier guess. What do you think's the fastest hit ever? Like one of those beep the EDM like I'm blue bada be bada ba
yeah probably
bada bada something like that.
I can't
Barbie
drive
girl.
55.
That was pretty fast. I am
faster than the other Barbie song.
I don't know. I think Van Halen beats that. It's just in terms of BPM. But that's where the conversation gets complicated because what people perceive as fast doesn't necessarily have actually faster BPM.
Right.
I'm looking for that BPM.
BPM for sure. Write us in. Let us know your opinions on that. Maybe we've opened up a new line of questioning there.
Totally. I want to investigate this. All right. Coming in at number two. This is my pick. This is a new Fear song. I always liked Fear. And this is Manhunt.
Fear's great. I had no idea they were still able to make records.
Yeah, and they sound pretty good. Leaving, the singer.
Leaving.
Yeah.
That's fast. She don't got that treatment.
Speaking of
signature
voices, no one sings like him.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that he's that old and you could still like have a cool old voice like that.
Yeah, totally.
He's also setting you guys up for another who's on first scenario. It's leaving. He just got here. Oh, yeah, he is leaving.
Who left? No, leaving?
Why? Is it something I said? No.
Is he going? Leaving.
Los Angeles based hardcore band.
Fear.
Tight. Tight.
They diss New York City. You know, they had the song New York City's All Right, if you like saxophones. They
played
on Saturday Night Live. And, you know, nice. I'm a bit anti-sax, so I always thought that that was
a diss
on New York and a diss on sax and a diss on street musicians and all kinds of stuff.
Well, what about, Howard, let me interject. What about Yakety Sax?
Yakety Sax is great. Of course, it's got its place. You know, I like Brass Monkey, and I like O Bondage Up Yours, and there's some good ones. Of course, Springsteen's
Selective Clarence. Sax. Did you know, here's a leaving fact for you, or maybe it's a quiz. What Metal Luminary did an album with Lee Ving. He did a solo album and Lee Ving sung on it. It's a heavy metal.
Rob Halford?
Oh, you're saying he's probably a guitarist, right?
Yes.
He's a guitarist. Lee Ving did an album with him. I'm going to say it was Steve Vai.
He's actually a front man, but he is a guitarist also.
Hetfield?
No, Dave Mustaine.
Oh, Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine, really? His only solo album is called MD45, and he had Lee Ving sing on it.
Wow.
And it was actually really good. But then he pulled a Taylor Swift, and he almost did a Mustaine's version later and re-recorded all the vocals himself.
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. But the original Lee Ving version rules.
Rockers. Sunset Rockers, you know?
Right. It's a pretty good... pretty rare album, though.
Cool.
All right. Coming in, number one.
Number one.
Howard's pick, No Bro with Don't Feel Like It.
To the other side of the world just to drink some snake blood. And then I woke up crying on the floor of a hotel room. My mom asked,
what's wrong with you?
I said, I don't know. I'm only hurting myself. So just leave me alone. I used to you were really cool, but these days you're looking average. That's a shame. You were always talented. I know I got dues to pay, but hey, can I just pay him later? And yeah, I got shit to do today, but you know what?
Hey, tell me the name of that song. Tell me the name of that song.
I think I Don't Feel Like It.
I'm going
no,
with
tell
I don't
me,
feel like
tell
it.
Me the name of the song.
I don't fucking feel like it.
I don't fucking feel like it. Again, women empowered in a different way.
Yeah, and then what's the band?
No, bro.
No, bro.
I'm just asking what the band is.
Tell me the name of the band.
That's it. I'm leaving. No, stay. No,
you're leaving. Wait, you're leaving from Fear?
That's a great song. You know, the first part of it, it reminded me of the, I forget the band, but it always, the song always plays around Christmas. Then I went to the grocery store and I saw this.
The waitresses. Yeah.
The waitresses. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The No Bro is bringing something back, but like in a credible way. Like the way she even just screams, I don't fucking feel like it.
Yeah. It cuts through.
Rings true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a way of doing real simple stuff. They're from Montreal. Check them out.
By the way, the album is called Set Your Pussy Free.
Yeah.
They're loud and proud. I always feel like it's a little bit unfair, though, when a verse is just like ranting at a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, they don't get a side of the conversation at all. It's just, it's that's
right.
all.
Right, right, right.
One yeah.
character assassination.
And they have a full, like, rocking band behind them. It's like they're just going to win the
yeah.
argument.
No yeah, yeah. yeah, they're louder than you. They yeah. got their songs in there.
No one's going to Dave Coulier with follow-up questions.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you have a single coming out? Are you going to respond to that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, that was a lot of fun, and those were some great picks.
Yeah, great trivia questions too, Howard.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed you guys answering them for me. You did really well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. I am going to check out your new book, Have I Seen You in Anything?
Thanks, buddy.
Excited about that. And
yeah, congratulations on that. That's
thank
very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And if you do get a copy of the book, be on the lookout for a Dragon Boy Suede shout out in the chapter Colin Hay, where I talk about early Largo.
Oh, okay.
Howard, nice. I don't know if, have you and I ever had the conversation about this at all?
I'm not sure.
So it's the first time I had just kind of recently moved to Los Angeles, and I was going around to comedy shows and trying to, you know, get the lay of the land. And the first time I ever went into Largo, Dragon Boy Suede was on stage.
Really?
Posed and announcing a song that wasn't coming.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But first, you're the first person I ever saw
that's
Largo.
That's the first time we ever saw each other? Like the first...
Yeah, wow. Well, I was just a guy that came to the show. I don't know, we never spoke, but I'll never forget it.
Interesting stuff. And then was that was Colin Hay playing that night too?
No, he was actually playing at the theater, you know, after they had moved it to the other venue, the more theater based one. But he used to play there all the time, like Fiona Apple and, you know,
all
the people doing great stand up, Rhett Miller play, just such a great music and comedy space.
What a venue.
And a supper club, which, I mean, where's a supper club these days?
Crazy. Monday nights were banging over there.
Totally.
Great. Tenacious D, Trucker Boys and Rufus, Naked Trucker. Well, awesome. And yeah, look for Matt out there doing stand-up as well. Start?
Yeah. Again, go pick up the holiday bundle. It's now in your cart. If you're a chart topper, you already have it. It's our gift to you. If you're not a chart topper, you can go upgrade your account on whochartedpod.com and get that holiday bundle and check your email. There's gift links so you can gift it to a friend or family member or an enemy.
Get an enemy. Get it to them. Make them listen to it. Absolutely. Also, check out Comedy Bang Bang World, all the exciting stuff over there. And check out Drop Date Duel and Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister. And haveasummer.com/shop. And we will see you right here next week on
Who Charted.